Wait, so I was gonna say, what the heck did I just ask you?
Wait, what just happened? I had a really good answer. Hold on.
Dude, look at this. We have like a little thumb icon that just came out of nowhere too. Like, what
the heck? When we do like a thumb, mine doesn't work as well.
Yep.
The diamonds are symbolic of all the pressure they put on me until I shined. My life is symbiotic with the culture. I could never ever lose the vibe. Make sure they rolling one up for me, cause it's been a long ride. We doing this one for Money T. Keep his name alive.
It's just different all the time.
Yeah, for sure. So, Brianna Patel, thank you so much for coming on the Healthy Indian podcast. Yeah. This podcast is about mental health, fitness, and your passions, which is real estate. You know, you had over 150 plus 5-star reviews. You have been in the business for a while. I know you've done so many different jobs, but this is your calling. So thank you for coming on, and take it away.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I'm really excited. I know, finally we're getting it to work. It's been in the making for a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a lot of back and forth exchanges for those of you that don't know. But Brianna has been dodging me a lot. And yeah. I'm just kidding. yeah, exactly. But we've been just trying to get the right schedule in. But I'm glad we're finally able to make it happen, considering how we're both in sales, how we're both just really not 9-to-5 people. We're both just always on the hunt, kind of trying to just see who our customers are. So yeah, for sure. So one thing I want to ask you, Brianna, is like, what made you get into real estate? How are you exposed to it? And I saw like your first post in which you were kind of like posing like this, but you were like, hey, I've done so many different jobs, but you found that real estate kind of mixed everything together. So I wanted to deep dive into that, if that's cool with you.
Yeah. Okay. So growing up, my dad was in real estate. So he was more like a real estate developer. So more into like the hotel scene. And he worked with like some of the bigger companies, like people who like put Disney World together, or like we grew up going to dinners with the guys who created like the shark in Jaws, like things like that. Really, really cool job. And since I was a kid, that's always something I did want to do. But then obviously 08, when the market crashed, it hit our family kind of hard. So when that happened, I was just like, I don't know if it's like the best career to go into. So then that's when I was like, all right, maybe finance is good. Maybe finance is going to be solid and always have a job and a career waiting for me. So I ended up going finance route. I did that and I got into it and I did corporate America and just did not really like my life at all. I did not like my life at all. And then I think it was right when COVID was happening, I think I had 10 friends getting married that year. And I was like, you know what? Like maybe it wasn't real estate. It was like the market crashing. And then it wasn't like, you know, maybe it wasn't just real estate that like affected my life so much. Maybe it was a multitude of things. I was like, why don't I just give it one more try? Like, let me just try it on the side. I have 10 friends getting married this year. Let's see if I can even get a couple of them. So I just told myself I'll give myself a year. And worst case, I have this job and my degree and everything to fall back on, but I have not looked back since. So I'd like to say it's going well.
No, that is freaking awesome. And yeah. The thing is like, I like your perseverance, because also what I'm learning recently as I started my new career is like persistency is key. And it really is. Like, I didn't think how to the next level people in sales took it, but you're right. Like, even in everyday life, right? Like, the more persistent you are, the more you'll be likely to succeed at something. And maybe for you, it was your calling, but obviously like maybe when we're younger, we just, you know, there's something like, we're just like, okay, maybe we should just not give it our all. And then one day you give it your all and you're like, wait, this is my thing, you know? And I like that. I like how you like tried so many different fields. I guess when you got into real estate, what was some of your mental health battles that you kind of delved into? I'm sure, like, you know, it was not a career that was easy coming up. I'm sure it was a lot of hard work, and I'm sure it still is hard work, but now you kind of understand, you know, how networking works, how connections work, how building relationships work. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that. I mean, how does that work for you?
Yeah. So everything you said, plus we were in the middle of a pandemic. So it was like a lot going on up here, right? It was a lot. It was a lot happening. Getting into real estate, I think it's not as, I think with any kind of sales and like everything kind of compounds on top of each other and it just builds. And I think it's hard to stick to any kind of sales position because it takes a long time to see, like, it's not instant gratification. It's not going to be like I put in the work and then I get a paycheck. It's like you're constantly building and you have to be really clear on your vision, which like I've focused a lot on this year. But if we go back when I first started, it was really hard coming from like such a, like since we're kids, we have such a structured lifestyle. Like you go to school at this time, you wake up at this time, you go to school, you come back, you have after school activities, you do your homework, you do this, you study, you eat dinner, you go to bed.
Yeah.
Like every single thing was always laid out. And then you get into like real estate or any, most sales jobs, like you're your own boss, you're your own, like you got to be your own motivator, you got to be your own alarm clock, you gotta like figure out what the right thing to do for you is and your business is. It's like so many moving pieces. And then on top of that, you're like in the middle of a pandemic and like everything is changing. But I always say, like, I think I got into real estate at the worst and best time, because worst time because it took me really long to get my first sale, but best because I had a lot of clients right off the jump. It's just, it was so competitive that it was really hard to like secure a house. And there was just right. so much activity going on. But in terms of like the mental health aspect of it, it was hard. Like yoga was something, I mean, is something that I've always leaned on. But in the middle of a pandemic, everything shut down. And like, I don't know, going from being in the studio doing yoga to then everything shifting online just wasn't the same feel. So that was the first thing that dropped.
Did you think like your lack of motivation dropped too because you couldn't go out and do yoga? Because I know yoga is not only an indoor thing, but it's very, when you do it outdoors, you're kind of like, I don't know, in sync with nature and just outdoors. So it probably was kind of confining for you, right? Because, you know, you probably like to do yoga outdoors and stuff, right?
Yeah. I, to a year later, I was just so go, go, go until like a year later, I'm like, holy crap. Like, I'm not happy anymore. What's going on? Like, something's going on up here.
lost your inner peace. I mean, even COVID with me, I started going a little insane too, because I was like, I can't go to the gym. Everything's closed. So I picked up building desks and learning how to be a handyman around the house, which worked out in a weird way. Yeah, I made my own little gym in my basement. Yeah. And then I started working out, so I just dropped being a handyman again. So, but like, long story short, that was like what transpired. I feel like everyone kind of went through their ups and downs during COVID. So like, I guess during COVID, it was a buyer's market, right? A lot of people loved the interest rate. They loved the 2.875% people would get on the houses. How is the, I guess like the market now, you would say?
So it was actually kind of, well, back in COVID, it was kind of weird. It was like a buy, I mean, depending on what perspective you look at it from, like it was a buyer's perspective or buyer's market in the sense that like there were a lot of options in terms of houses.
Right.
But then like so much competition over one. But then on the seller side, like sellers were making so much money for their house, right? So we're kind of in like that weird place again. Like I just listed a house last week in Clarksburg and we had like 38 showings by the end of the weekend. I had seven offers in hand. Like I listed it Wednesday, I had seven offers in hand on Saturday. And like we're well above ask right now. And it just depends on the area and it depends on what you're looking for, but we're still in like an inventory shortage, which is creating this like competition, but it's also very like area based. So there's some areas that are a little bit hotter than others and the hot areas are going through kind of something similar to that again.
Do you think like all the people that pursued becoming realtors during COVID, a lot of them have kind of unfortunately dropped the profession because of how hard it's become, because of just not even competing with each other, but just selling the houses? Because it's been like, you know, some people have cash straight up, they buy the house and then that's it. You don't have a house left for the other person to buy, or like the interest rate is high. So then somebody who really wants to buy, they still can't buy it because, you know, they have to take out a loan and they don't want to pay that interest rate.
It's a really good question. So I used to,
yeah, I'm just thinking freely right now. I don't even know how
That was good. I just completely blinked on what I was going to say. This happens to me a lot. I need to eat more almonds. Oh my god.
I feel that.
What did you just ask me? Sorry.
You never know. Wait. We gotta do this again. Wait, so I was gonna say, what the heck did I just ask you?
Wait, what just happened? I had a really good answer. Hold on.
Dude, look at this. We have like a little thumb icon that just came out of nowhere too. Like,
I think when we do like a thumb, mine doesn't work as well.
Yeah, let me think. Nah, it was there earlier, but it's not here.
Realtors anymore. Dropping off. Yes. Okay. So I think there's a really big stigma around agents about like, oh, they make so much money and it's so easy to make money. And I think with that same mindset, a lot of people got into the business during COVID. And I would like to say that obviously agents were still doing a lot of hard work, but like houses were, I don't think they were selling themselves, but it was a little bit of a easier transition because the supply and demand was just crazy. Now you have to get really, it's like, so many people have dropped off. Like so many people realize like what it actually takes. I used to feel like really weird before when my friends would be like, I'm going to be an agent too. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. But that's my thing. And now I'm like, you know what? Do it. Come on. I'll bring you on board. Just come. You'll see how much work it is. You're not going to want to do it. Like you have to really care about this profession or anything. When you're selling anything, you really have to care about it. Or I think you just come off very salesy. And then it doesn't work out as well. And I think you should cut that part out. Don't put that in there.
Okay. Wait, which part?
The part that I just said about the salesy part, the very last like 2 seconds.
Okay. I mean, I think it's cool. I think you're being raw about it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's okay. I think that's also what I learned at work too, is like, you definitely just don't want to be salesy because you also want to connect with people. And not in just like, oh, we're trying to say a house way. You really want to connect with them so they feel they can come to you for your problems for the next sale, their sale after that. Mm-hmm. God forbid they have to move out of the house and they need another place. They're going to rely on you to hopefully find them another home. So mm-hmm. I think also in a way, as a realtor, you're not a saleswoman, you're also a sales hero. So, you know, that's how I see it. So, you know, that's how it works. And I think you should include it in the video. But
I think really similar to that. So like on Saturday, I was showing a house to one of my clients who I've probably been working with for like a year and a half. She's just looking for something very specific. So when it comes up in a specific area, a specific thing, and she brought a friend with her this time. And her friend was there and he's asking me all these questions about the market. And he's like, well, I just signed a lease, but I'm not ready yet, but I'll probably be ready next year. So he's asking me all these questions. And then my client, she's like, you know, the thing I love about Brianna, she's like, I've seen so many houses with her, but she never, ever pressures me to buy a house. And I love that about her because she knows that when a house is ready, she's going to be there to help me. And just like, she's like, I've been with other agents and they just make me feel so pressured to like, when are you putting an offer? What do you want to put it at? And she's like, she's never done that. And I was like, that is the nicest thing someone could say about me in front of another potential client. That's crazy. Which was, yeah. I don't know, just made me feel really good. And I was like, you know what?
It makes you feel like you did the right thing.
Yeah.
Maybe picked the right career, not from just the monetary perspective, but from the human approach or human value perspective. Mm-hmm. So it makes you feel validated for the value you provide, I guess, right?
Sure. It was nice. That's
an awesome compliment. I love that. Yeah. I hope I get one of those. You will.
You will.
But during my sales class, like one thing I've been kind of trying to understand better of is rejection, right?
Yeah.
Stepping out of that comfort zone and putting myself out there in front of my friends and family. And then on top of that, my social circles and then also new people, it is a lot. So I do give you a lot of kudos for that. How do you deal with rejection, objection, just kind of like, you know, attorney's review, going flip-flop, you know? Mm-hmm. So
I like truly believe rejection is just like redirection. I'm sure you've heard that before, but like rejection is redirection. And like, I'm a big believer on like everything happens for a reason. So like if there's a reason someone didn't work with me, even though we're really good friends, if there's a reason someone else suited their needs better.
X amount of houses or hit certain amount of houses that day, you kind of struggle probably with just, you know, getting out of bed and just kind of forcing yourself to be the happy, like, you know, baseline flowy Brianna that you usually are, right? Because it kind of affects you. Like today I had a really good day, but like a few days ago, it was just tough to kind of go in the office and kind of be like, you know, I'm going to sell today and I'm going to be able to like grind. And at the same time, I might, you know, I'm going to make sure that I'm like a very selfless person and I don't tiptoe my friends, right? Because these are the people I rely on to give me referrals and contacts when I need them, especially in sales. So I guess that
really like learn to just like let things be. I think when you learn to like not take things so personally, I think that's the biggest thing. You just got to let things be like what they are. Don't like overthink it. Don't overanalyze it. Like take it face value. Like what is the actual scenario? What's happening? And what are the things that I have control over in the situation? And how can I help? I think that's usually, that's kind of like how I like to think, more likely than not. Sometimes I have a lot of off days. I used to have a lot more off days, but I'm realizing like I've been reading like a lot of books. Atomic Habits like really, really helped shape.
The James Clear? Yep.
Yep. Like it's more like, what can I do? Because I used to like downward spiral. Like I would have like one bad thing and then I'm like, oh no, now I'm like going down, down, down. I can't function. Like for the, my rest of the day is just gone. So I'm learning to now have control, like controlling where I have control and letting go where I don't.
Yeah, definitely. It's good to reassess and have, I guess, resources you could use to kind of help you with that. Because downward spirals are not predictable. And I think that's like the hardest part of the job when that happens. Because it's kind of, I heard today, you're your worst enemy in sales. So that is definitely why, probably why, right? Because you're kind of self-limiting yourself and self-limiting your doubt and worth and everything. So I guess one thing I wanted to step into is you've, I guess, had, you know, you sold a house to your family after your parents split. Just something I want to know is that how was that process kind of selling to your own family? That's pretty cool. Definitely must be gratifying to, you know, able to sell to, you know, your close family and be like, hey, mom, I sold you this house. You know, how was that feeling like? Because I'm sure it was like pretty amazing.
Yeah, so it was actually even cooler because my sister and I got it for her. So we didn't even sell it for her. We actually bought it for her.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so essentially, and this is a big part of the reason why I became an agent too. So when after my parents split, you know, we tried the avenue of like trying to buy a house and we spoke to a bunch of agents. It's like just no one was like willing to sit there and give you the time of day, like if you weren't ready to buy right then and there. And that's how we personally felt. And so we rented for years. We rented for literally years this entire time, like just thinking like there was no other way. And I'm like, all right, well then now once I have a good enough working history, my sister has a good enough working history, we'll figure it out then. We'll figure it out then. And my first, I think we bought the house, my, not even my first full year into real estate. Cause when I found out, I was like, what do you mean? This entire time, someone could have just like held our hand, groomed us to buy the house. And that's so much of like the principle that I carry with how I lead my business. And every single person, I treat them equally. Like it doesn't matter where you're coming from, what you have, what you don't have. Like I think buying a house is attainable for every single person if you just have the right people around you, like the right team, like the lender, the mortgage people you work with, the realtor you work with. I think like the mortgage lender and your realtor, like they have so much control over like a bad situation, for example. Like so many of my clients, we've been able to just put them on a plan. This is how we work, build up your credit. This is how we do this. This is how we do that. So that same thing, like when it was happening to my family, I'm like, what is happening here? We could have had a house this entire time. So that when we came to the knowledge of that, and my sister works at a mortgage company as well. She's not a loan officer, but she works at a mortgage company. So we were able to tag team that and like make that happen. Yeah. So now my mom has her own house. My sister, myself, we're all, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
That's freaking awesome. That's an awesome story. And the people that are listening, that is really, really cool. Yeah. And it's definitely, are you first gen, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's even bigger because, you know, having a, helping your family that immigrated from India is definitely one of those things where it is gratifying for them too, right? Like, oh, like my child helped me get my first house here as the first generation. So, and I think that is something that, that a lot of people that are in the first generation community, whether you're Latino, African-American, Indian, white, and many other races, Asian. The thing is, like when you're coming from a different country and you buy your first house here, I think that feeling is indescribable. It's unbeatable because it's like, wow, we're actually living what we, you know, saw in the magazines in India and coming here. So I think that's really cool that you touched on that and you even helped your mom do that. So she's always going to remember that, you know? So I guess what are some other projects for you as far as real estate? Are do you also believe in investing in real estate and kind of jumping into that thing if you want to talk about it? You know, because that is really cool as well. And I think not a lot of people our age take that risk, right? Everyone's like, man, I don't have enough money. Maybe I don't want to put 5% on a house. Mm-hmm. But what is your advice towards that? Because you're the seller and hopefully you're the buyer. We'll find out.
Yeah. So I have a couple of investment properties. So in the way I kind of did, I'm very risk averse. So I don't like to, just because of everything that's happened in life, I'm learning to let go now. And I want to definitely take more. I know when you're either flipping a house or you're doing different other investment strategies, you have to be, you know, higher the risk, higher the reward type of energy. So I'm getting there. But something that I did have control over that was more manageable for me was buying my first house, then living in it for a year, and then renting that house, and then moving to the next one. So that allowed me, because normally when you buy an investment property, you have to put 20-25% down. You're going to have a higher interest rate. There's just a lot of other things going on with it. Versus here, I can buy it as a primary residence, move out, rent that one out, move out, rent the previous one out, and you can just keep rinsing and repeating. The only thing is, you know, you're coming up with, now there's programs that help you put 3.5% down instead of 5.2%. So you initially need to come up with that, your closing costs and your down payment, and then you can kind of have a rental property every year. So that's one way to do it. So that's what the only way I've done so far. One of my goals this year is to do my first flip. So that is something I'm learning. Yeah, that is something I'm learning. It's a completely different ball game, but we have a really cool, it's called Vibe Invest. So my brokerage is Vibe Realty. So we have a separate section to that called Vibe Invest. So we have people who are actively in the market. They're doing this for a living so that you can kind of partner up with people and collaborate, and they'll kind of walk you through how to get.
Can you also become like a silent investor, or is it more so like you're half-half, or you could just be like an silent investor? And once you see the flip and you see like the return, you can become like a main investor, or even like instead of a very silent, you can become less silent, I guess, or put more down.
And that's the coolest part about this brokerage too, because like everyone does so many different things here that like you could do any of those things. So if you bring, like if I find the deal, but I don't have any money, for example, I'm like, here, I found the deal. I'm willing to do X, Y, Z because I found this deal, or I want a finder's fee and you guys do the rest, but can I still oversee it? Or I have this much money to contribute, but right now I don't have time to learn. So can I just be, you know, your silent investor? It can go literally so many ways. So that's the cool, exciting part. Yeah. Makes it more attainable.
No, yeah, definitely. It helps people who definitely want to jump in that world, but they can't initially get super settled in. They can start somewhere and then they can grow their owned, I guess, assets or kind of like financial equity, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's really cool. That's really, really cool. I really want to get into that too. So
yeah. And there's no like, I guess the best part is like, there's no like rush, right? Like you can learn as you go. And the cool thing about real estate is like one thing leads to like 10 other things, and you can figure out what path you want to keep taking that works for you. So I think that's the favorite part.
I think you could always do real estate at any age, anytime, because once you get your license, and you're a seasoned veteran, I think it's more so just about understanding the market whenever, whatever time of the year you're in, whichever quarter you're in. So are you planning on, I guess, expanding your real estate coverage, like from Maryland and DC area to further, or are you just trying to focus on those areas for now and then kind of, just stay in that area?
Yeah. So most of my business is my SOI, so my sphere. So it's all people that I know or friends of friends. So a lot of referrals. I'm probably going to get my PA license soon. But aside from that,
What does PA mean?
Pennsylvania.
For the state. Okay. Gotcha.
State. Yep. Sorry. So I'm going to get that license soon. So when that happens, I'm essentially so I'll cover all those, but then our team is really big and everyone has different licenses all over the place. So coverage wise, we're really good. It's just, I think right now for where I'm headed, maybe down the line eventually, but eventually I want to have my own team too. And it would be nice if my team covered some of those other areas that I might need coverage in. But you got to be practical too. Like it's like, am I going to go all the way deep into Virginia, like a 2-hour drive to show one house? Like it's not as practical right now, but like if someone from our team lives like 30 minutes from that house and they could just show it for me. You know, that's the good thing about real estate too. Like,
oh wow. So I didn't know you could have somebody else show the house, but then you can also still make some kind of commission off of it. So it's kind of like a tag teaming almost. Like if you're not there, someone covers you. It's almost like a shift, but it's almost like you're doing it for real.
And
real
the person, like that person is going to be more versed in that exact, like that deep local market, hyper local market. Right. So like, they're probably gonna have more knowledge of like the trends that are happening there, the competition.
Right.
It would just be easier to tag team it and put the buyer or seller, or whoever it is, in a more optimal position to get them closer to their goals. So it's not always about like, I want to keep all the money for myself. It's not, or I want the numbers. I want to sell this house. It's always about like, how can we help this person the best way? So yeah.
That's freaking awesome that that service is even available. I mean, I might explore the opportunity too, because, and the thing is, can you guys also, once you get your license, can you also invest in commercial estate or no? That's different.
Technically, your license works for both, but commercial is a completely different ball game. So, I would like, I've looked into it. So I used to work for a commercial real estate development firm in college, like while I was going to school, but they specialized in like food halls. So like, you know, like Western Market, Union Market, like those like really upscale, like food courts, like the really, really nice places. You've probably been
I guess the malls and stuff and the food courts.
Yep. Well, like a little bit more upscale than that. So like Chelsea Market in New York, for example, like things like that.
Oh,
so
wow. Okay.
He specialized in that, but it's kind of funny. I'm allergic to dairy. So a big component of like finding people to go into those like sections and like companies would have been trying their food, which wasn't really going to work out for me because I probably didn't eat half of it. So,
Yeah, so I didn't know that was in this scenario.
Yeah, but when I was working for them, I know like it's just commercial is like so much more complicated. So I think it's definitely doable, but probably want a good like mentor and like tag team with someone, shadow them, see if it's something that like fits. But technically your license works for both.
Yeah, because I have a friend who does commercial, so I was just curious to know how he got into that and then kind of pivoted, you know, because it is like, I guess like a bigger beast because it could be hotels, motels, buildings. Estate, you don't know, but I mean, it's probably harder to sell for sure, right? Because you know, who has that kind of money? You need Groupon people,
it's
so
like a whole,
you know,
group of people. But I'd love to connect with your friend though to get more insight on how your friend's doing.
Yeah, for sure. I will let you know his name after the podcast. No, for sure. No, that's sick. And I see that you have a house under contract here. How does that, I guess, having a houses under contract and stuff? How does that feeling feel? How long does it usually take you to go under contract? And is there, you know, anything with mental health associated around that? Because is your mindset always like very clear before, you know, you go under contract? Or is this something like, you know, hey, like, what if you don't close? Is there like some kind of worry? Like, how does that go? Like, run me through how your mindset works.
Yeah. So I think a lot of the stress is actually, it's both. It's equally as stressful to get someone under contract. And then once you have them under contract, it's usually 30 to 45 days, depending on your loan type, more 30 days when you get your hands, the keys in your hands. And when you get to the closing table, it's usually about 30 days. So in that 30 days, there's a lot of things that can happen. So you have three main contingencies. You have your home inspection contingency, you have your appraisal contingency, and you have your financing contingency. So there's different things that you need to do at different timelines for all three of those. And all three of those could be the result of like, or could result in the deal potentially falling through. So when I first started, that stuff used to give me so much anxiety because like when you're first starting, you're so desperate to just like want to get working. You want the deal to work. You're so emotionally attached to your clients, like a lot more emotional than like practical, but like you have a lot more emotions attached to it. So it used to, It used to kind of like, I used to be in it with the buyers. I'm still there with it, but now I'm like more solution based. So like, I'm very, like my mindset now is very much, what can I control here? And what are the solutions here versus like, oh no, what if it doesn't work out? What if it doesn't work out? What if it doesn't work out? Cause that used to drive me crazy before. So that's the biggest difference now. So like right now, the house we have under contract, at any given point, something wrong could go wrong, but I just do my best. Me and my team do my best to like make sure we're doing our absolute best to make sure everything from our end is clear and everything we can control is controlled. And then if something else happens out of our control, you try to control it, you try to manage it. Just It, we're always like, it's funny because I think being an Asian is honestly, you're like a professional problem solver. Like it's just one obstacle after another, but like the buyer or seller really will never know all the stuff that happens on the back end. Giving them like the smoothest transaction, but like it's honestly one problem after the other.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I mean, when you go see a house and you expect something, I mean, there could be like broken locks. They could be, you know, like not like in the contract, it may not include like, you know, there's a sink, like there's like a heated stove, like central heat, cooling. There's so many things that can like the roofing that, yeah, that can go wrong. So no, I give you guys kudos to that. And definitely it seems like a, it definitely seems like a career where it's a lot of ups and downs.
Yeah. But or like, it seems like one of my clients got like, we were so close to closing and then they like lost their job.
Oh, wow.
They didn't do anything about that. And then they can't buy.
How do you even react to that?
Right. Like you have to be there. You have to be what people need you to be. Like in that moment, all I could do is just support you, be there for you, do everything I can to make sure we wrap up the offer and the contract, cut it off as cleanly as possible so it doesn't come back. Their deposit isn't at risk. Like there's a lot of things there. Or like, got to be very careful to remind people while you're under contract, don't go buy a new car, don't open up a new line of credit, because all of those things will prevent you from buying this new house. You know, do all
it
those.
And then a reversal. Yeah. There could be like a major reversal because you're kind of showing off that you have money, but you may not because you're buying a house. Right.
So. Yeah. And it like affects. So the main thing is like when you get approved for a mortgage, it's your pre-approval number is based off your debt to income ratio. So if you're constantly increase, so if you go out and buy a car, your debt is going up to your income. So now maybe you could afford $400,000. We're under contract for $400,000. Now you go buy a car and now we're at like 300. There's $100K difference. Like, what are we doing here? You know? So it's like educating everyone, and like everyone doesn't know that. So just making sure you're being extra thorough with everyone.
Yeah. It's good. It's good to kind of take care of your personal finances, especially during that, you know, 30-day thing. I think it becomes very legally involving too, especially on the other side too, if they find out. Also, I noticed on a more lighter note, I noticed that you do have a dog. What's your dog's name?
Oreo. It's a boy. Oh, Oreo.
Nice.
When we got him, he was straight black and white. And then as he's five now. So as he got older, he turned gray.
Wait, that's so cool. Literally an Oreo.
Yeah.
When Oreos actually like become like kind of like old and stuff, they become a little grayish too. So
they do, a little stale Oreo.
Yeah, those stale Oreos. Yo, that's crazy. It's a cute dog. And you like, I guess I noticed like you also like doing a lot of outdoorsy things. Do you like, I guess just Indian dancing and just kind of like going on hikes and stuff? It seems like also, aside from just the realtor, you're also very outgoing and into just outdoorsy things. You're not just a homebody. Or are you? I don't know.
No. I'm option A. Yeah, no. I'm definitely outdoorsy. I like I don't know. I like a very, I think growing up, my life was very chaotic. So one thing when I was younger, everything I always wanted when I got older was I just want a really calm life. So I'm really proud to say that I'm building that now. Just being around water, hiking, waterfalls, just like calm, soft life. Aside from my crazy career that like keeps me crazy, but everything else aside from the career, I like to keep really like calm and on the low. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I saw the other day on your story, you did go for a hike. Yeah. So I was just wondering, because I'm like, wow, like you do have a lot of cool traits to you that also make you a person, not only a person that thrives in real estate, but also very relatable. Right. So it's cool to just see that, you know, so.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah. Do you like going
outdoor? Yeah, for sure. Like
doing outdoor things.
If I like to do outdoor, I love those things. Yeah. I mean, I love the gym. I love hiking. I mean, my goal before was to do Mount Everest with a few friends, but I don't know if that's happening due to some of them being scared, but we'll see how that happens. Yeah, right.
It'll be a little too outdoorsy for me, but I like it. I hope you get to.
But, you know, I mean, I think I'm like somebody that really likes talking to people, I love to get to know their story. I definitely like to put people on the map, because as I feel like I put people on the map, they'll put me on the map, and we can all kind of grow in this community. Yeah. What is your opinion on, I guess, the South Asian community too, becoming realtors, becoming salespeople, becoming not the usual doctor, engineer, lawyer conversation, right? What is your, I guess, kind of like your sense on it? Do you get impacted by it too much, or it doesn't really bother you?
Not really. I think I grew up really, really lucky. My both my parents were just always very supportive and like just doing whatever made us happy. It took me a really long time to figure out what that was, but at the same time, always right in front of me. So it's just ironic, but they've always just supported us in whatever we've wanted to do. And I have a younger sister, so I keep saying we, but I have a younger sister. Same with her. And it's just ironic that we both still ended up in the real estate business in some form or capacity. But
You're both in the real estate business? Which I don't think you disclosed to me before.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
She's worked for a mortgage company for years now. But she's eventually...
By chance, is she a loan originator? Like a mortgage?
She's gonna be, yeah. She's studying for her test. That's her plan. Okay. Yeah.
If she wants, have her reach out to my mom. She does that too. So feel free because, I feel like advice is helpful, right? So
it's pretty cool.
I didn't know that. So I was like, real estate, wow. So both the sisters are twinning right now.
Yeah. It's nice though, but I think we live in a really cool time right now where you can be so many things. I think I was watching a video the other day where like a little kid was being asked what you want to be when you're older. And the kid was just like, I want to be a YouTuber or I want to be a content creator. And it's just crazy because when we were growing up, those were not things. Like
those were not real tangible roles that.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You'd be like, wait, really? Like, how am I going to make a living off of this? But now everyone's like able to do something about it. And it's almost creating like this side income and also like a venture, right? Like it's kind of like a passion project gone like viral, I guess, or something. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool to see that. I love how like these cross collaborations happen. Like I've had other realtors come on and wow, they have so many cool stories, their realtor experience and how they kind of approach family values and man, you name it. So it's really cool, this industry. And I love to see more South Asian people be realtors. You know, I think it's really cool.
We would all be good. We all got crazy networks, so.
Yeah, for real. Everyone knows everyone. I'm like, man, right. I can speak from experience for boss too. So,
right.
Wait, so that's cool. Okay, cool. Let me just make sure I'm not forgetting anything. Oh, is there anything I covered that I didn't mention that you would have wanted mentioned, we're good to go?
Yeah, I think maybe you can ask me maybe one of my biggest struggles. I think I'm good at that one. Yeah,
sounds good. What has been one of your biggest struggles that happened in real estate or in general?
So I think initially when I first started real estate, I think like we talked about, I smile a lot. I'm bubbly. I have an outgoing personality and I didn't see anyone in the office like kind of act like me or look like me or interact with other people like me. So I spent like the first year really just trying to change myself and trying to fit into what I thought a successful agent looked like. So I would like go to my team lead and I'd be like, how would you respond to this situation? And he would say, blah, 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 blah. And I would copy and paste the exact same thing, whether it was coming out of my mouth or I was texting it or I was emailing it or I was on a phone call. Like I would copy and paste exactly the way he would say it. I would say it. And I had a mentor. I had a mentor one day tell me, he was like, Bree, lean into your weird. And I was like, what? He was like, just lean into your weird and just trust yourself. And then from that day, I was like, you know what? What's the worst thing that can happen? It's already like me copying, pasting somebody else right now is not working for me. So I just started being myself and I started connecting with people. It was like such a turning point. And the whole idea, people like working with someone who laughs a lot. People like working with someone who's nice. People like all of that. And the whole time, like what you were saying earlier, like we're our own worst enemy. Like I was getting in my own way this entire time. And it was just cool how everything completely shifted the second I decided to just be myself, whatever that.
No, I love that you shared this story actually, because I'm literally going through exactly everything you're saying right now. Cause I'm only on week one and two. Mm-hmm. And I see how all these other people in my industry, the insurance agency industry, that everyone, the way they're talking, I'm trying to imitate it, but also it's not coming from the heart. And I think it's the confidence and it's also like they're weird in their own way. So I just have to be weird in my way. And I just have to hit the numbers. And at the end of the day, my clients will, relate to me in my weird way because we have that connection. If someone else tries to seal the deal, chances are they may not close because they may say the numbers, but the client may not feel as close with them because of just the relationship. Right. Mm-hmm. So.
And that's what someone said too. Like like I said, in the beginning, like kind of where you're at or where I was too, like you just want to get something going so badly that like you'll take any personality, any client, like you're just ready. You're just eager to just get started. But then like a lot of the experienced agents, when I first started, they were like, chances are, like if you're not connecting with someone, you probably don't want to work with them anyways, just like they don't want to work with you. And then I started thinking about that. And I'm like, that's so true. Like if you get out of like this like lack mindset, like when you're first starting, you're willing to just do whatever because you want to succeed. But then once you get past that, I haven't gotten there yet. But like once you get past that, so I hear, like I can understand like, okay, well, if someone doesn't want to work with me, I probably don't want to work with them either. And it probably makes more sense for you to just be paired up with somebody else. And that's okay. You'll be okay with that. I feel like that rejection comes in. Like that's totally okay.
I think at the end of the day too, it's who your mentors are and who, how you get the knowledge in. And I think after that, your personality should just like flourish, regardless of the knowledge being, I mean, you should know the basics, but I think regardless of how you deliver, I think as long as your personality and the other personality, like you guys have like a fun dialogue, I think you're already like 80% in the battle. The other 20% is just executing a little bit on some of the knowledge. But yeah, I think no one can replace you because you're a little unique in your own way, right? So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's a pretty good thing. I'm glad you called me out on that because I was like, I feel like I'm forgetting something today, but then, you know, it's been a long day. So
I feel you.
It's been just like so many calls and I'm just like, yo, this wasn't my previous job. My previous job was IT, bro. I didn't want to get like even one call a day.
Locked in.
10 people every hour. I was like, what is this? But So just a little bit more about you. I guess hobbies and stuff. What are your hobbies in general for, you know, other up and coming realtors? Like what kind of hobbies do you kind of like to take part in day to day?
Yeah, I'm a big traveling fan. So I love to travel. I actually spent like, my goal this year is to stay put and really, really focus on my business. But usually it's like every weekend I'm doing something, or I like to just be by the beach, water, waterfalls. Hiking is a big one too. And then yoga, above all yoga. Like I try to get there like at least 7 times.
Yeah, you really like yoga. You even canceled our podcast to go to yoga. Like I was like, wow.
I'm
yoga thinking, like everywhere, you know.
It fine. Really helped me.
No, I was like, it's fine. I totally get it. I mean, I have like my weird moments too. Like, I think I need to have my breakfast before I do anything. Like, I'll miss a meeting if I don't have my breakfast. Like, that's how bad.
You gotta know yourself. Where do you thrive, right? Like, I know when I'm doing yoga, like I show up as my best self. Like, my brain is working at its optimal maximum capacity. Like, I'm the nicest, I am the most clear. So yeah, yoga is important and it makes me feel good.
So would you say having like your own weird ritual is a key to success? It's one of the key components, because other people may not understand, like, why does she do yoga? But to you, it's like, well, you don't get it, because when I do yoga, this, then this happened for me. So would you suggest, like, you know, find your own little thing that makes your weird rituals? Like, I met somebody the other day and he's like, dude, I don't like coffee. I don't even like drinking it. Like, no, but he's like, I like the ritual. So he's like, I feel like I'm succeeding because I'm having the ritual of coffee. But he's like, with caffeine and stuff. He's like, it doesn't do shit. I can go to sleep with caffeine. I sleep like a log. It was like one of my friends, Dan or whatever, in California. And I was like dying. I was like, damn, I never heard of that one before.
No, I actually feel him because, well, again, Atomic Habits is another thing too. But like, this, like, having a routine, like, no matter what, you're waking up at a certain time, like, with the, you don't have, like, a boss or someone telling you, you don't have to meet a certain quota. There's, like, you're just, like, you're hanging your license under a brokerage, but you're just, like, out here floating. Like, you gotta be, like, so self-motivated. Like, you gotta, like, just, you have to look out for yourself, because no, I mean, obviously, everyone's there to support you, but, like, you have to own your goals, and you have to show up for yourself. And I realized that the thing that was missing this entire time was some type of routine. Like some type of routine. So now I get up at the same time, I do the same thing. I'm not a big coffee person either, but this is funny. So my best friend got me an espresso machine for my birthday, and it was just sitting here next to, like, we already had a Keurig machine and it was sitting right next to it, and it comes with like these like trial pods or whatever. So one day I was like, you know what, let's do it. I like turned the frother on. I did. I put the little Nespresso pod in there and I made the coffee and it comes out so creamy looking. And again, I said I was allergic to dairy. So I'm like, is this have dairy? Like, this looks too good. And then I add the froth and milk, or the milk that's froth, however you say that, mixed it all. It tasted better than like Starbucks. It took me 2 minutes to make, but it was like, since then I have made coffee every morning and it's literally, this is so funny. I literally said this to one of my clients the other day, cause I was like, this Nespresso, like you go to their store and it's such an experience to pick your pods. Like you come home, you feel like this barista every morning making this amazing creation. And I'm not even a coffee person. And if I can translate that same experience to like my business, like the Keurig that's sitting next to the Nespresso do the same thing, but this one makes me feel like I accomplished so much first thing in the morning versus this crazy. But I agree with your friend Dan. Yeah. It's the idea of doing it than sitting down, starting your day. It's just something to do.
I guess it gets you into your morning groove. I mean, I'm learning that too, because in IT before I had a morning routine, but it was more or less wake up in PJs and start my day. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, all right, I gotta wake up at 5, mm-hmm. and I'm getting used to it. But I think like now I'm like, I started doing what he told me. I started making coffee again, and even I don't need coffee. I'm like, why the hell am I making this?
Yeah, thing? Right.
Yeah, but I have to take the Nespresso machine, because one of my friends, when I go to Jersey City in New Jersey, she's so big on the frother and everything. So she'll show me all her pods and her collection. And I'm like, what the hell's going on right now? Yeah, I'm like, but it's fine. I mean, I have my own weird moment too. Like Avatar The Last Airbender is like my shit. Yeah. So just watch every episode on there. So.
I love it.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure.
And then I think like I used to not utilize my calendar as much, but now I put like everything on my calendar. Like if I have to go do Amazon returns, like it's on my calendar. If I have to do like if I have to read 15 minutes of a book for my book club, like it's on my calendar. So like
No, that's freaking awesome. So you use Calendar. You don't use Calendly? Like the Calendly thing schedule.
I just use my Google calendar because it's like linked to my email, so anything from the brokerage events and stuff that we have, that it goes out to everyone, it's just easier. I set the reminder to remind me 30 minutes before I have to go do something, so it's very it keeps me accountable. Like if it's on my calendar, I'm gonna do it, and if it's not on there, then it's like I'm just all over the
everywhere place. yeah You won't do it, you won't get to it, you don't out of sight, out of mind, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. One thing I wanted to know, which I feel like I'm deep diving into this now, is like, how do you deal with going to travel and then coming back? Because, you know, you're the boss, you're your own boss. So mm-hmm. do you have like this, like when you're traveling, you think about work, when you're at work, you think about traveling, does that happen to you?
It's a running joke in the real estate community that if you're slow, like work wise, you should just go on vacation, because like the second you leave, you're on the plane, like everyone's like blowing you up. Like, I need to do this. I want to go see this. And it's like every time. It's true. That's every funny. Single time. Like you're literally land where you're supposed to be, and all of a sudden, like 10 people you haven't talked to in like 3 months want to go see a house. And it's the best thing. But the good thing is like you want to make sure you're at a brokerage that supports your goals and sees your vision, because I could be like, I don't know, in Turkey right now, or I mean, somewhere on the same time zone. So let's say like, I could be in Miami right now, for example, and someone at work from my team would be able to facilitate those showings for me. And then they would be able to give me feedback. I'd be able to connect with my client after. And then everything that happens after that, like putting the offer and everything, is all done online. So as long as I have my computer, I could essentially do it from anywhere.
Wow. Okay.
I only like doing that when it's existing clients who I've already met and have a relationship with. I prefer to like at least have that first meeting with me, so they get to know like me and I get to know them. But after that, once I've built like the trust, I think like if I'm not here, I make sure they're comfortable, obviously. If they're comfortable, you know, them going with this other person that I trust. So just, you know, I say I can either be on FaceTime the whole time, you can call me right after or during, like I give them a bunch of options.
Yeah, you kind of have to have that flexibility option, right? Mm-hmm. Email, whatever they feel is comfortable to communicate to you. But mm-hmm. it's also cool to just kind of go on vacation and then just use your laptop too sometimes, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
Like, wait, I'm getting work done. You know, I'm getting shit done. And I'm also enjoying like the beach and then hanging out with my friends and getting a few drinks in. So no, I definitely think that's so cool. And thank you so much for coming on. I just want to say you were great. And next time you should bring on your your puppy, even like somebody else, if that's in the cards.
That would be cool.
Yeah, round two would be sick. So I would definitely want to see where you are in the next 6 months, 6 to 8 months, and let's have another episode. I'm down. So
yeah, well, thank you so much for having me and for all the patience with us coordinating everything.
Yeah, definitely. Also, everybody, Brianna Patel from Vibe Realty.
Yeah.
And she covers Maryland, D.C., and then soon to be Pennsylvania. So go follow her. All right. Healthy in and out. Peace.
Thank you. Okay, wait. Hold on. Let me take a picture.
It's not recording still, but okay. All right.